Okay, let's begin. Let's go over some ideas. Some short ideas, some longer ideas. I'm fine, everybody here. Thank you very much. Relating to that God, the first idea, someone told me a very nice idea of our essay relating to the concept of b'chipozoin. The entire Seder is centered around matzah. We have the mitzvah, v'shmartim es ha-matzah. Matzah has to be baked in rapid time without any delay. And there's a mitzvah deraisa, we discuss the shmartim es ha-matzah. There are different ideas, concepts that are extracted, relate to this principle of shmira. And one of the most notable is the idea of it connects us to the theme of ki b'chipazon yotzasa me'eretz mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out in a state of haste. And we did not have enough time to let the dough rise. We were in a rush. And we were instructed in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim to eat the matzah, eat the Karm Pesach, makelchem b'yetchem, nalechem b'raglechem. You should be wearing your shoes. You should have your walking stick with you. You shall eat it in a state of haste, because we were leaving Egypt. And every year we commemorate the element of ki b'chipazon yotzasa me'eretz Mitzrayim by eating matzah, which is baked in a state of chipazon. We make sure that there is no delay from the time that we begin baking until the matzah is ready to eat. Why? What is this chipazon all about? Someone give me a very beautiful mashal. You have two people jogging in the park. Two people. And they're both traveling at exactly the same speed. But in their minds, they're jogging for a different reason. One fellow is jogging because he knows at the end of the park he has received inside information there is a pot of gold. There is a treasure buried underneath the tree, near the tree, at the end of the park. He gets a text, he hears this information, and he starts running because the same way he got this text, could be maybe someone else got this text. So he starts running to reach the destination in order to retrieve the pot of gold. There's another fellow who's jogging in the park on the same exact pace, the same speed, maybe even faster. He's just going for his morning jog. Okay, he likes to jog. It's healthy. It's refreshing. So he's out there in the morning. He puts on his uniform. He puts on his jogging shorts. And he's jogging in the park. To an observer, there are two people jogging in the park. But we do not know what's in their minds. One person is thinking, when I get to my destination, I'm going to be a rich man. And the other fellow, when he's jogging, he's just jogging for the sake of jogging. What is the difference between the two? Give me a practical difference, not between the two. And the answer is distraction. If you were to attempt to stop them from jogging, to show them something, to ask them a question, or to present them, let's say they'll be sitting beautiful, on the way, there'll be this beautiful display, some type of advertisement, some type of beautiful thing to look at, would they stop? So the answer is, well, the fellow who's jogging because he has in mind to reach the destination and take hold of the pot of gold will stop for nothing. There is no distraction on the way that will hold them back from reaching his destination. On the other hand, the fellow who's jogging because this is what he does every single morning, he likes to jog, he likes to go for a stroll in the park. If you distract him, he will very easily be distracted. Very quickly will he stop and take a look and take a note of what's going on. That is the difference. That is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us with the mitzvah of ki b'chipazon yotzasa mimitzrayim. It doesn't necessarily mean haste. It doesn't necessarily mean quick, run, don't stop. Rush. It doesn't mean rush. There's no such thing in Yados as rushing. Zrizus, zrizim akdimun l'mitzvahis. There's no such thing as rushing. Chipazon means don't be distracted. No distractions. No commercials. Just stay the course. Reach your destination. A person who's baking bread, if he's distracted, I'm baking the bread, I'm kneading the dough, I'm eating the water. you know what, let me go now have a conversation with my fellow men. Let me make a phone call. Let me go see what's doing. So what happens? What happens is the bread turns, the dough turns into chametz. But a person who's not distracted has nothing other than one goal in mind, to produce a product. I have water, I have flour, I've kneaded it, and the next thing, the only thing that's on my mind is to put this in the oven and produce a loaf of bread. Memela, it's going to be matzah. See, here we're changing the entire focus of matzah. We like to think that matzah, you're going out of your way to make matzah. That's the way the average person looks at the principle of matzah. We're going out of our way. Normally, when you bake bread, so what do? Oh, you bake the bread, you have the water, you let it rise, it turns into chametz, you put it into the oven, you have a delicious loaf of bread. So the norm is chametz. Now it's Pesach. So now we have to go out of our way, rush, and make matzah to make sure it doesn't turn into chametz. It's just the opposite. Just the opposite. Elokim asa es ha'adam yashar. Hashem made man straight. Veheim bikshu chishbonos rabbos. They're the ones who have become corrupt and get distracted and go off the beaten path and start doing all other things. When you bake bread, if you don't rush and you just stay focused, I'm baking bread, that's all I'm doing today. I have water, I have flour, I mix it, I knead it, I roll it, I then put it in the oven, and here I have a product. No distractions. Memela, it will be matzah. Chametz only comes when you are distracted. Chipazon does not mean haste. Chipazon means don't get distracted. This is the Musa Haskel for Yadus. In Yadus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he put us in this world. And the goal is to bring Mashiach. The goal is to perfect the world. The goal is to accomplish and to achieve, to accomplish great things in this world. Why have we always failed? It's because we're distracted. There's a Yetzer Hara. Come here, little child. Let me give you some candy. Come into the store. Come, let's play, let's do this. We're always getting distracted. By getting distracted, we lose focus of what the mission is, and we end up in a lot of trouble. The goal of Pesach is a reality check. It's a reminder. You're here in this world for a purpose, to achieve greatness, to accomplish. Don't get distracted. Let's use matzah as a dogma of what it means not to be distracted. The norm is Elokim also es hadam yashar is matzah. Because if a person would bake bread without any distraction, without getting worked up and sweating and saying l'shem kedushas matzah and having a clock on the wall and doing all of these crazy things, if you would just stay focused, if a person would just stay focused, it would nimela, it would turn into matzah. When a person loses focus, that is when it turns into chametz. This is the musa haskel of chipazon. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's move on. Halachic idea. Rav Herschel Schacht, he makes a very, very fascinating point. You notice in some of the Haggadahs, they have a L'shem Yichud before each one of the Dalit Koises. Okay, they say, you come to the second Kois, and you say, let me see if they have it over here in this Haggadah. I'm sure we don't have it in this Haggadah. Let me look at benching. What are we benching? What's it here? Is it benching? Okay, you have over here, Yir Einenu, the last section of Birchas Hamazon, Hashem Oiz Le'amo Yitein Hashem Yivorech Hashem V'Hashalom. And in this Haggadah of Herschel Schacht's Haggadah, it says right away, Baruch Atah Hashem Kodesh Melech Olam, Vayrei Pri Hagafen. You will notice many Haggadahs. It says, Hirani Mochun Vizum Lekai Mitzvahs Koy Shlishi Shel Arba Koysiyos. Kineged of Yotzeisiv Vigo Alti, Vigo Alti, Yotzeisiv Yitzalti, Vigo Alti, Kineged Vigo Alti. L'shem Yichud, Kudsha Baruch Hu, Shechintai, the Yitam of Nelam, and you make L'shem Yichud, and then you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Baruch Hu Yagofen. So Herschel Shechter makes a very important point by saying, you should not, at least in his opinion, okay, obviously it's not very, this idea is not necessarily accepted by all, but he says he's not allowed to do that. That is a hefsek. That is a terrible hefsek. That before you put on tefillin, if you recite the L'shem Yichud, there's no hefsek. There's nothing. There is nothing wrong with saying L'shem Yichud before you put on tefillin, because it puts you in the proper frame of mind, and it reminds you what this mitzvah is all about, the purpose of the mitzvah. It goes through the basic details of the mitzvah, and then you make the bracha. You're not doing anything before. You're not doing anything before. We're now when you'll say the bracha Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al mitzvahs tefillin, that it should be a hafsek. Let me give you an example. In the L'shem Yichud, we make mention of the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. Did you ever see someone break up the L'shem Yichud when you put on tefillin and you say the section of the L'shem Yichud before the tefillin shel yad for the tefillin shel yad? L'shem Yichud, Kudsha Baruch Hu, you write your whole, you say anything in the L'shem Yichud that pertains to the Tefillin Shel Yad, you recite, and then you conclude, Baruch Atah Hashem, L'kinim Melech Olam, Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvos V'tzivanu, L'haniach Tefillin. And then you put on this, and now, when it comes to the Shel Rosh, oh, Nochal L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud, Kudsha Baruch Hu, the Tefillin Shel Rosh, what it represents, K'neged Hamayach, and you go through all of the details in the Tefillin, in the Tefillin Shel Rosh, what it represents, and then you say the bracha Asher Kiddushan b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al mitzvahs tefillin. That's absurd. Shalaika halacha, because saying a l'shem yichud between the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel roish could not be a greater hefsek. I know you'll argue, well, it's not necessarily a hefsek, but the bottom line is it's a hefsek. No one does this. No one would dare do this. You're not mavsik. You're in the middle of the tefillin. There are two parts, shel yad and shel roish. Before you begin, you make a l'shem yichud, and then after you do the shel yad, you right away do the shel rosh. You're not going to go and say a l'shem yichud between the shel yad and the shel rosh. It's unheard of. It's absurd. So he says, saying a l'shem yichud when you finish benching and reciting the Bori Priya Gofen, he doesn't say these words. I'm adding this into what he says, but basically you're doing exactly the same thing as saying a l'shem yichud between the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. Even though it sounds very good, right? Because now putting on the Shel Rosh, mitzvahs, tzrichos kavana, you have to know the reason why you're putting on the tefillin Shel Rosh, and you're now going to elaborate, but it's not the time and place. The time and place to elaborate on the purpose of the mitzvah is before you begin the mitzvah, not in the middle of the mitzvah. In the middle of the mitzvah, this is not where it belongs. It's a hefsek. So saying L'shem Yichud, here's the important point to understand. Chazal were misakin that you drink a kois shilishi al birchas hamozon. Chazal were misakin that you drink a kois revi'i al halel. You say halel, which includes halel hamitzri, halel hagodol, nishmas, with the bracha of yishtabach. That's called halel. Chazal were misakin, you should drink a kois revi'i al halel. Chazal were misakin, you should drink a kois sheni al, for what? For the Haggadah, on the Haggadah. To finish the Haggadah, and now, L'shem Yichud, Kudsha Baruch Hu, that is a hefsek. That's not where it belongs. To finish Hallel, and then after you finish Hallel, you say the bracha, HaMelech Mulo Batish B'chois, and then now say L'shem Yichud before you drink your fourth cup, that's a hefsek. To recite Birchas Hamazon and then say L'shem Yichud before you say Bari Priya Gofen as a hefsek. The takana was to make the Bari Priya Gofen, to connect the Bari Priya Gofen of the four kaisos to different parts of the Seder. Saying the L'shem Yichud at this moment where they put it in the Haggadah is Chadoshim Labikarim. No ancient Haggadah did this appear. This is a new innovation of the printers to go put the L'shem Yichud, and it's based on ignorance.
How about the first one? It might have been the first place.
The first class before you say Kiddush. Yeah. No, so he says also, in the Tak, it's a good thing to say the Lashem Yichud, but where should you say the Lashem Yichud before you begin benching? He says,
say by the first
course. The Ali,
you can say the first course, you, where are you saying it?
Okay.
You're saying it before you begin Kiddush.
Maybe you could say for all four courses.
No, it's out of place. So what he says is, you want to say the Lashem Yichud? Right, but in the beginning, so he says, he actually writes, he says, you want to say the Lashem Yichud? Before you begin benching. Before
that's
benching. What?
That is different from Lashem Yichud for benching.
Right, so then you say the Lashem Yichud for benching, and then you say the Lashem Yichud for the third kais. You want to say the Lashem Yichud, Tovoy Olav Bracha. You should say the Lashem Yichud. Mitzvahs, Srichos, Kavana. The Lashem Yichud gives you that Kavana. It tells you what the Kavana should be. But say it in the right place.
Wait, but that becomes the Eina Bracha. It's one of the things. Part of the Bracha is I'm setting myself up with the right Kavana.
Right, exactly.
So in that case,
you have the Kavana, not the words.
But where?
Where do you set yourself up for the Kavana? So Chazal said, let's use the Koy Shlishi as an example. The Koy Shlishi should be recited upon Birchas Hamozeh, which means it's a chelek of Birchas Hamozeh. The Koy Shlishi is the Koy Shal Birchas Hamozeh. There, if you're now going to finish benching, I finished benching, wonderful, I'm done with benching, and now I'm going to drink the third Koy. So now, but before I drink the third kois, I want to remind myself the third kois is lefor, is connected to the benching, and it's connected the third word of the dalal lashonis. Beautiful, but now is not the time. The time to establish that kavana is before you begin the benching. Yes. He asked that question. And he says, no, don't tell me the Harachman's in Yiru, because since this has already been established from time immemorial as the bread and butter of benching, you're right, theoretically what he's saying is very good.
No,
you should know he actually cites... Yes?
Because that goes to Oysa Sholem Dibrema. So that's...
Everything that he asked that question, and indeed you should know he actually writes, you reminded me because I didn't read this since last week, he actually writes that they were Gedolei Yisrael, that the whole year round they recited the Harachamons. And Yireinenu and everything. Bamoroim and Yiru. But Leil Seder they did not. Because the Leil Seder, they viewed everything after Al Yechasreinu to be a hefsik between benching to the Kois Shlishi of Bari Priyagofen. He writes that. They were Gedolei Yisrael. What? Definitely not. Definitely not. Absolutely not. He's saying, you're not allowed to even say L'Shem Yichud. Certainly not allowed to go to all. They didn't say Harachamans. They didn't say, the whole year round they said it. But not the Leil Seder. Because since Chazal were misakein, that you should recite the Koy Shlishi al Birchas Hamozoin, so that means there's a chelik of the Birchas Hamozoin, the Leil Seder. Therefore, if Birchas Hamozoin is only four brachos, three derais and one midrabanan, what right do you have to say piyutim, when you finish your Birchas Hamozoin before you make the Bari Priya Gofen? How dare you? So they taka did not. Now, that's not our minig. No one should do that. Because our minig is, no one has such a minig. We recite the entire Birchas HaMazon with Yiru, with the Harachamans, Bamoraim, v'chulu, because he says, this is accepted. It is established that this is a chelik of the Birchas HaMazon, so, and that's, but to add, al Lashem Yichud, that already you're going over the top. And if you want to say the Lashem Yichud, which you should, the place to say, Hinni Muchun, Muzim Lakai Mitzvahs, Koi Shlishi, Shal Adal Koises, Kineged, Vigoalti. Hinni Lashem Yichud, Kutshabuch, you want to say that beautiful piyut that you have in many of the new Haggadahs that are printed today? Very good. Take it, say it, but put it before you say Shir Hamalois. Before you start Shir Hamalois, or some will do it after Shir Hamalois, before you begin. No, and then he says Hallel before you begin the whole Hallel. Before you begin the Hallel, or I think he says, I'm not sure, it could be he says before you begin the Brachas, after you finish Nishmas, Or maybe not, really. I didn't mean before. I think maybe before you begin Hallel. When you now come to Hallel, the best thing is you're coming to Hallel, you're not supposed to be mafsik. When you come to Hallel, after you finish Birchas HaMazon, you start, you do Shvei Chamoscha, and then you begin Loy Lanu. Before you begin Loy Lanu, Hinni Mochon, Mezumu L'Kayim, Kois Dalid, Shel, Arba Koisos. Kineged, the Goalti, the Otseis, the Yitzalti, the Lokav, Kineged, the Goalti. And now you begin Loilanu Hashem Loilanu. You finish Halal HaMitzri. Then you say Halal HaGadol. And then you say Yishtabach. And you make the bracha. And you Halalucha somewhere in the middle. And then immediately Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Melech Olam Bar Pri Hagafen. To go and now recite the L'Shem Yichud in between the end of Halal and Bar Pri Hagafen is equivalent to a person reciting the L'Shem Yichud between the Tefillin Shel Yad and the Tefillin Shel Rosh.
And the second Kois you would say before Magid?
The second Kois, I have to look at what he says. You have to figure out where would you say the second Kois. One thing is for sure, let's go back to the Haggadah. I guess before the Manishtana. Yeah, L'Chaira, that's what it will come out. Before the Manishtana, let's take a look. You say the two paragraphs of Hallel. B'tzeisim Mitzrayim, Chalomish L'mayinoy Moyim, and then you make the bracha. No, here, I remember, he says, before you make the bracha, I remember what he says. What do? We make a bracha. We recite the entire Haggadah, and then we recite the first two Mizmorim, Halleluka, Hallelujah, Avdei Hashem. And then we recite B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. And then what do? We make a nice long bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Ge'olanu V'goales Avoseinu Mitzrayim V'giyon L'alayla Zelech Olboi Matzu Mora Kein Hashem Elokeinu V'eloke Avoseinu Yagin L'moyadim L'ogolim V'chulu V'chulu. And we finish off Baruch Atah Hashem Go'al Yisrael. And then what does it say in some of the new Haggadahs? L'shem Yichud, Kud Shemuch Hashanah Medchilu, L'chilu Yachay, Shem Yudkim, Vavkei, B'shem Kol Yishol, Hirni Muchim Zimu Kayim, Mitzvahs Koy Sheini, Shol Arba Koy Sos, Kineged, V'goalti, V'yitzalti. And then L'shem Yichud, and Baruch Atah Hashem, L'chim Elchon, Bor Priya Gofen, Rav Shachter, wrong. Who told the printers to put the L'shem Yichud over there? That's not what you're supposed to do. Chazal, we're masakin, then you go and you say the Haggadah, you make a bracha, and all on the Haggadah, you recite the Bor Pri Hagafen. So the place to say the L'shem Yichud, which is you should do, because mitzvah is, no, don't make light of a L'shem Yichud is mitzvah, is Shrichas Kavana, is not between the Goal Yisrael and Baruch Atah Hashem. What are you doing? You don't make a L'shem Yichud before you say the bracha, before you say the bracha, then you can say the L'shem Yichud. You want to be machmir. You want to be a briska? The briskas don't talk the entire Haggadah. They hold it's one big mitzvah. They're not mafsi from the time they start Manishtan. What? Sure they do. Whatever they do, but there are people that don't talk. There are people that hold opinion that you're not allowed to talk the whole Haggadah. If you don't want to talk, so then say the L'shem Yichud before you say the Manishtana. Before you begin the Manishtana, you say the L'shem. You want to talk? Like all of us, so say the L'shem Yichud before you make the final bracha. After you recite the two Mizmorim, and you're coming now to the last bracha, that's the place to say the L'shem Yichud, period. Okay, so this is a very interesting Yisoid. It brings out an appreciation. Chazal, we're Misakin, Gesundheit. Well, the Litvaks generally don't say L'shem Yichud. They don't like L'shem Yichud. They're anti-L'shem Yichud, the Litvaks. So they don't hold of it all together. But even those who do hold of L'shem Yichud, okay, even those who do like L'shem Yichud, which is nothing wrong with, according to most, everyone today has come around. Everyone today became a shtickl chosid. And every chosid became today a shtickl Litvak. So today you don't find such animosity to a saying of L'shem Yichud like there was years ago. So if you say the L'shem Yichud, it's not the worst thing. But don't say it right before the bracha, because that defeats the goal of Chazal that the Dalet Koisos should be recited upon different elements of the Haggadah. Okay, let's go to another idea. Uh, Okay, look, it's a short idea. This interesting struck my mind. This idea just struck a chord. It's not a perfect idea. Rabbi Bender, I spent time yesterday reading about the article. Every year they like to put out at least one or two Haggadahs. So they put out this year a Haggadah from Rabbi Bender. Rabbi Bender is, I'm not exactly sure of his title, the founder, the Rosh Shiva. He called the Rosh Shiva. He calls someone else in the book of Rosh Shiva. He calls her Altuski. He calls him the Rosh Shiva. He is the Rosh HaYeshiva. Rosh How, the idea. Okay, he's the founder. He's not the founder either. He's not the one who found the yeshiva. Someone else found the yeshiva. He runs. It's his yeshiva. He made it great. Okay, so I told you I once spent time. I found it very fascinating this year or 2 years ago. I don't remember anymore. He published a few books on Chinuch Habanim. A very popular book was I mentioned this, that about 10-15 years in the newspaper, which newspaper is it? Not the Ated, the Hamodia, the Chinuch Round Table Discussion, where every week they would pose a question relating to Chinuch Habanim, and they would have the top 10, 15, 20 Mechanchim respond. And it's fascinating. It was, at one point, maybe it still is, the most popular portion of the newspaper, of the Hamudia weekly newspaper, the question and the different answers. The Ated? Sure. Okay. The Chinuch Round Table is the Ated, fine. So they would pose a question and they give the question way in advance to all of these Mechanchim, very famous, well-known, popular Mechanchim, and they would give an answer. And the answer covered the entire spectrum of Klal Yisrael. And it was very, very fascinating to see how some very provocative, controversial questions were answered by the popular principals and policymakers, mechanchim, all across America and beyond. And he was one of the participants in this round table column. And they did this for many, many years. And they collected all of the questions and all of his answers, and they put into a very nice, thick book. And it's fascinating, really is very fascinating. And what's most fascinating is in the beginning of the book, in that introduction, he writes, he doesn't do it anymore. He stopped. He just doesn't have the time. Why doesn't he have the time? Because you wouldn't believe how much time he spent answering these questions. When they would send him the question, he would agonize and think about these questions for hours, and then to write it and to rewrite his response. So when you would read in the newspaper a paragraph, his paragraph, his answer, which was one of 15, 20 responses, only took him a couple of hours to think about and to put in words what he really believes is correct and proper for this generation. Good morning. What he really believes to be correct. So if you have a book that the amount of time, 10 years worth of question and answers, you're dealing here with thinking of hundreds, if not thousands, of hours went in to answer these questions and to write the answers. Whether you agree or disagree, it's worth reading. Okay, so I found it to be a very, very fascinating book. Now, that's not, they had other books he wrote about Chinuch. So now, this year, he published through Art Scroll a Haggadah. A Haggadah, most of it is stories, you know, take off on different parts of the Haggadah. A lot of it, most of it are very interesting stories. But there's also a lot of Torah, a lot of different Verdlach. And one thing he pointed out, one thing I found to be very, very interesting, every woman would love to hear this, is that who is the hero of the Haggadah? Who is the hero of the Haggadah? It's the mother, the wife, the mother. The mother who has prepared the Seder, the mother who has, the whole Seder is all based on the bias, the Ikeres HaBayis. You're sitting, you don't send away your children to someone else's house for the Haggadah. You have the Seder with your own children. Who is the one that is in charge of the bias, sets the tone of the bias? It is the mother. It is the head of the household. And in fact, when it comes to matzah, there's a very unique halacha which is not emphasized nearly as enough. I don't think there's any mitzvah in the entire Torah The ideal way to do, and we, something we don't do today at all, but Chazal tell us that's how it should be done. The ideal way to do the mitzvah is a partnership, a team effort between husband and wife. No one does this hither today. No one. I don't see anyone do this. This would be a new business. It's not really possible. Chazal say, why is it called Lechem Oini? The reason why it's called Lechem Oini is because we don't appreciate this today, is that fuel costs a lot of money. And when you're baking bread, you have to chop wood, go out to the forest, chop wood, and you have to burn wood to get the oven to a temperature where the dough will turn into chametz. And if you're very poor, you do not have the luxury of getting the fire going like today. You first open a cookbook, which there's no shortage of cookbooks, Rabbi Isai. If you want a cookbook, there's no shortage of Jewish cookbooks out there. The first thing you do is preset the oven to a temperature of X, whatever it is. You're baking these pastries, preset the oven. You're baking this dish. First thing is get the oven, preheat the oven. Now, it takes a lot of fuel, a lot of, today, gas, or whatever type of electricity you're using to get the oven to the preheat desired temperature. And once it's there, you are in no rush. You're not in any rush to put the food in the oven because we're all spoiled. So let the oven run for another 10 minutes. What do I care? Let it run for another half an hour. I'm not ready yet. When I'm ready, I'll put the food in the oven. But you're burning fossil fuels, the environment. My boy said, what's going to be with the environment? Carbon emissions. Who cares, right? Who cares? That's not my problem. Well, in the time of Chazal, people who were very poor cared. Not because they cared about the environment. They just didn't have the fuel. To go have wood to heat up an oven is a big deal. Okay, to have a few pieces of wood to heat the oven, to get the oven to the temperature that's needed to cook, every second counts. And if someone is poor, they just don't have the money to buy fuel. So the reason why bread maat is called lechem oni, it doesn't just reflect upon its poor man's bread, it also reflects upon the way it's made. It was a partnership. The husband would heat up the oven. He would wait for his wife. It's a very precise calculation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chishev es haketz. The husband is chishev the ketz. He's watching his wife knead the dough. The wife is taking the water and the flour. She's kneading it. And he will not ignite the oven until he determines the precise moment has come where by the time that he finishes getting the oven to the proper temperature, it'll be exactly at that moment his wife will finish kneading the dough and it will be shaped and be ready to be put into the oven. If the husband had to make the matzah himself, it would cost him double as much. Because he would have no choice but to first preheat the oven and let the oven run for a long time while he himself would busy himself by kneading the dough, pouring the water and the flour, kneading the dough and setting it up. I can't do two things at the same time. I can't preheat the oven and prepare the dough at the same time. I have to first get the oven ready and have the oven heated to the desired temperature, and then I can begin the process of kneading the dough and shaping the dough and putting it into the oven. But if you have a partner, you have a wife, then we can coordinate. I will heat the oven while you prepare the dough, and I will coordinate my preheating of the oven exactly to where you are holding in your preparing the dough and shaping the dough and getting it ready to be put into the oven so that the fuel will not cost one penny more than is absolutely necessary. Not because I'm a cheapo, It's because I poshut don't have the money. I am poor. Lechem oni. It's poor man's bread. There are many interpretations as to what it means, lechem oni. Simply means it's